Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So let's begin this hour in a state of Linsanity. That, of course, refers to Jeremy Lin, the new sensation on the Knicks, who is demographically unique in pro basketball for being an Asian American kid from Harvard, not to mention that he was so regular until last week that he's been sleeping on his brother's couch in the East Village, his brother Josh, an NYU dental student. And with us now, Jeff Yang, another Asian American kid from Harvard, now writing the Wall Street Journal's Dow Jones blog and blogging for WNYC's politics site, itsfreecountry.org, and his own blog, Original Spin. And also with us, the Takeaway sports correspondent, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. Hello, hello, hello.
Good morning, hello. Good morning. Or good day, not good day.
And listeners, the lines are open. Any way you want to express your Linsanity, here is your opportunity. 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. I want to jump right into the bias question. No college offered Lin a basketball scholarship, even though he led his high school team to an awesome record in California and some unlikely upsets. He was playing under the nose of Stanford, and he really wanted to get a scholarship there, and they looked at him and didn't offer one. Then after college, he was not drafted by any NBA team and then dropped by two who picked him up for short periods until he suddenly got this chance with the Knicks last week, with their top two players out of the lineup. So, Jeff, is it pointless speculation to ask whether scouts and coaches could not see his ability for what it was because there were no Asian Americans and then no Harvard guys doing what he does? Or is there a reason to ask that question?
No, I think it's hardly pointless. I mean, I think that they probably looked at Jeremy Lin and saw me, you know,
a guy. You're too short to play basketball.
Exactly. But, you know, there's an absolute truth to the fact that there was a kind of profiling going on. I mean, you know, you look at a guy like Lin, who has literally succeeded at every level he's played. He has not just succeeded, he has been outstanding at every level he's played. And nevertheless, he, despite those who have, you know, believed hard and supported him along the way, not gotten the looks and not gotten the chances that I think somebody who had the same talent and the same kind of proof on the floor, so to speak, would have gotten of another race.
But how do we really know that, Ibrahim, about anybody? I mean, you know, covering sports, that let's say the worst minor league baseball player who makes it to the lowest rung and gets cut after 2 weeks is the kid who was so dominant in his neighborhood and his high school that everybody was saying, oh, my God.
You're right. Everyone is good at this level. Everyone, and there's two things that are at play. I mean, Jeremy Lin was told by people at the Madison Square Garden, they were unconvinced. The security guards were unconvinced that he was a basketball player. When he was trying out for the Golden State Warriors, they thought he was coming to play volleyball, and he said, no, there's no volleyball here today. So there is definitely this sort of perception that he's invisible, and yeah. I think that happens a lot of time because the NBA is sort of a black and a white league as we think of it. But I think there's probably more Jeremy Lins on the bench in the NBA than we would imagine because they haven't gotten the opportunity because these are the best basketball players in the world.
We can't prove it, but even what we're speculating about would be an object lesson in how bias works. Because this wouldn't be colleges and pro teams saying, no Asians wanted here, we don't like your kind. This would be a lot of white and black professionals' warped perceptions because of assumptions about Asian Americans or Ivy Leaguers. It's unintentional, but it still has victims. You know, black people are seen as more unqualified for jobs they apply for, even with the same credentials and presentations as white applicants. That's been tested a million times. So Jeff, civil rights laws do not end bias, they just make it illegal.
This is true. And, you know, to the extent that you can't even claim necessarily that this was a conscious, in any way, attempt, as you pointed out, to discriminate or to exclude or, you know, to even suggest that somehow Asians can't ball, right? It was simply that sort of unconscious standing that people have, the masks that people wear, presenting them as certain things and not as certain other things. And, you know, I think that it's quite interesting now, you know, that part of the reason why the Asian American community is so much in love with Jeremy is not just that he's a player, but that he is somebody who has snapped that mold, who you know, for a maybe future generation of young Asian American athletes who want to play in the NBA, kind of makes that possible now.
There's also the fact that he, you know, he fits the stereotype as well. He's the smart Asian as well. So it's not, you know, for parents that are saying to their kids, no, you can't play basketball. They're like, well, look at Jeremy Lin. He went to Harvard and he's in the NBA. So you can no longer say that. And I think the other thing is, what if Jeremy Lin had tattoos? Would they have known, you know, everybody in the NBA has tattoos. Would they have, you know, him coming in and be like, oh, okay, you're an Asian guy, but you have tattoos. You must be in the NBA. You must be a basketball player.
He was a Harvard economics grad. But instead of going off and inventing credit default swaps, he's doing something socially useful. Marcia in Poughkeepsie, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, he's absolutely doing something socially useful. The reason that Jeremy Lin is such a delight to watch, unlike Rondo or the Spanish guy who plays for Minnesota, who are also small and fast, is that whenever he hits something, whenever he makes a move, he just sparkles with delight. He emanates joy in what he's just done. He's having so much fun that it just gleams across the television screen.
Thank you for your call. And I don't know, is that a fair knock on Rondo or Rubio?
I think Rondo and Rubio, the reason why it's an interesting knock is Rondo and Rondo played at Kentucky. Rubio was highly heralded point guard coming into the league from Europe. Both of those guys were expected to play well. The best part about Jeremy Lin, which she just, you know, correctly said, he's been a surprise to the world with the way he's played.
I would add there that, you know, if you'd gone through a career to date like Jeremy had and you got the chance to be the starting point guard for the New York Knicks, you would be sort of walking around with a grin on your face all the time, too. And I think that Jeremy is doing that, and I think it's infectious.
Ali Abdul in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to reiterate what Floyd Mayweather had said in the papers about Jeremy Lin, okay? Had he been an African-American or an African-Caribbean, and would he receive the same kind of media exposure that he's receiving? Because you find a lot of African-Americans and African-Caribbean basketball players who do just as well and maybe better, but they don't get the same media hype.
Right. Well, it's a man bites dog versus dog bites man story, right? Because there are so many Africans, African-Americans in the NBA, Ibrahim?
I think Dave Zirin spoke about this on his Edge of Sports blog, where he said the NBA thrives on players that do what you're not supposed to do. So you have players that come in and do amazing things. You have, you know, he's in a tradition of these players. So it doesn't diminish what other African-American players have done. And it doesn't mean that they wouldn't, you know, they may not have gotten the same exposure. It's just we're surprised and we're elated that you have someone that comes out of the boundaries that we're normally used to. I think what Floyd Mayweather said is completely off base. And I don't think that it, you know, and Stephen A. Smith said this the other day. He said that is, you know, you can't typecast people based on their race in any context, and particularly as African-Americans, we have to be the ones that are the most fighting against that.
I want to play a little bit of audio from a video, Jeff, that you made for the Wall Street Journal of Knicks superfan Spike Lee at courtside. And what he's doing here, if I understood it right, is that he had a little contest, maybe on his Twitter feed, is that what it was, where he invited people to submit nicknames or little phrases that start with Jeremy and end with Lin. Is that what we're going to hear?
Yes. And what happened was I approached him courtside and challenged him to deliver some of his choice selections from that list, Poetry Slam style.
So we've tightened this up, and here are what we determined to be the best five.
Jeremy, I move so fast, I must be on Ritalin. Jeremy, hang my jersey from the ceiling. Jeremy, my jumper's cash, Benjamin Franklin. Jeremy, I move so fast, got the brothers babbling. Jeremy, stop Asian profiling.
And he obviously had an entertained audience there. Very funny, all starting with Jeremy and ending with Lin. So he pulled it off. He rose to the challenge, Jeff.
He did indeed. And, you know, just talk about that infectiousness. I mean, you had to see Spike. I mean, you know, this was a game right before a big game with the Lakers, and you could tell already that he was hyped, he was psyched. He believed Jeremy was going to deliver, and he did. He really did.
This says something about the Madison Square Garden and the Knicks and the roller coaster history that New York has had with the Knicks. In the 50s, the Knicks made it to four championships. In the 60s, nothing. In the 70s, 3, in the 80s, none. In the 90s, 2, in the 2000s, it was depressing. Now, all of a sudden, we have a new era. It's the Linsanity era.
Every other decade.
Correct. Every other decade, the Knicks do something to capture the attention of the world.
As we talk about Linsanity with Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, the Takeaway sports correspondent, and Jeff Yang, contributor to It's a Free Country, to the Wall Street Journal, and his original spin blog, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. If you want to get in on this, also, we put a poll on our website, and you are going to be able to weigh in on where you think Jeremy Lin will end up being in terms of an all-time basketball player. A, he's a flash in the pan. He'll go back to being a nobody. B, he'll end up a decent player, but nothing special. Or C, he's the Knicks' savior and a legend in the making. So, folks, you can bet on that, or not bet. You can just vote on that. You'll do your betting on the side, not on our website. Thank you. But, Jeff, you wanted to say something about that?
Yeah, you know, there is kind of a big gap between the latter two of those selections. But I do think that, you know, just in reflection of what the other caller had said, and, you know, I have to say that, you know, Mayweather's comment really, you know, bums me out in a lot of ways, because the way that it essentializes what Lin has done in his performance as being nothing more than, you know, equivalent to what any other athlete might have done in his shoes. Well, you know, maybe there's some truth to that. We don't know for sure if another player had gotten in and had this opportunity, what he would have performed as. But if you look at the actual numbers, his performance over the first four games he's started as a Knicks point guard has actually been historic. He has scored more points. He has, you know, had a better shooting percentage. He, in virtually every, you know, characteristic of his game, has stepped it up to a level that has not been seen since the ABA and the NBA actually merged.
It's Michael Jordan and a very small handful of others who actually achieved what he achieved over their first four starts.
Like Shaquille O'Neal.
The problem is it's such a small sample.
You're right.
Four games. Teresa in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Hello, Teresa.
Hello. I just wanted to say and call in because I'm a huge fan. I think the reason why he's popular is for a combination of reasons. It's a great story. I mean, for goodness sakes, he was sleeping on his brother's couch only a couple of weeks ago. He's from Harvard. And
now his brother is going to be sleeping in his extra house.
Exactly, in the spare room. But, I mean, for me, as a Filipino, I have, you know, personal reasons for wanting to follow the story, but I think it's also his humility that he's prepared, and he's so obviously enjoying this crazy ride that he's on that it is infectious. And I think his statistics, though, and his skill set is hopefully something that will continue in his development. Magic Johnson mentioned during the halftime game on Friday that he thinks it's a real deal, so I'm hopeful. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know whether or not he's going to keep it going, but I'm interested in how the story unfolds.
Teresa, thank you so much. Aren't we all? Ibrahim, I want to ask you a business question, a sports business. I am one of the many New Yorkers who cannot see most Knicks games because I have Time Warner Cable, which is in a contract dispute with MSG Network over how much they pay MSG to air the channel. This has been going on all year. If Linsanity continues in New York, does it put pressure on these two media companies to settle their issues, and does it favor one company over the other?
The New York Times reported today that the MSG stock rose 3.8% Monday to a record high. And so now you're automatically seeing...
And that's assumed to be because of Jeremy Lin?
Yes, and that's primarily because of merchandise, which is you can't keep Lin jerseys on the shelves.
Right.
I don't have a Lin jersey because I couldn't find one. I was told to come in with a Lin jersey, and I couldn't find one. So I think there's no question that I think it puts pressure, but I think it tilts it in on the side of MSG in this context. If this keeps going, if they keep winning, and the Lin train keeps going in that direction.
Is there a vast new NBA market potential in New York? Jeff, we just heard from Teresa, who didn't follow the NBA at all until this Jeremy Lin phenomenon. Is there a vast new Asian American market that hasn't followed basketball before? What do you think?
I think there's unquestionably a huge and untapped market here. I would say, though, that it actually goes well beyond Asian Americans. I mean, I ran into the same issue with Ibrahim. I've been looking for Lin jerseys everywhere, including in kid sizes, and everywhere sold out. But I was at the game, you know, the Lakers game on the Friday back, and honestly, I saw more people, more, you know, non-Asian folks, black, white, Hispanic, who were wearing Lynn jerseys than Asians. And it just sort of is a testimony to the fact that, as callers have said, it's his story, it's his infectious glee over the game, and the fact that he's literally, he's playing his lights out right now. That's what's taken off.
I'm going to trump you, Jeff. I was at the Monday game against Utah. And the Garden was like no other place I'd ever seen in my entire life. The energy was infectious. People were hugging each other. That, you know, the ability of Jeremy Lin to bring together New Yorkers. New Yorkers were not wearing Knicks gear all around the city. You didn't see people with Knicks hats and jerseys. Now, all of a sudden, there's a boom. You see Knicks hats all over the place.
Plus, I had looked in January around when the season was starting, sort of in the doldrums, on StubHub. Late in the season ticket prices. And you could sit up in the 400 sections in the cheap seats for like $35. And now those seats are going for over 100.
My wife found a ticket for the Utah game for $16. She said, we should go to that game because the tickets are $16.
They're going to have to start talking about the Lin lift now, right? Stock price, ticket prices.
I know. He better have a good agent get in on some of that action if the stock price went up 4% just on his back. Evelyn in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Evelyn. Evelyn, you there? Maybe not. How about Mary in the Bronx? Mary, you there?
I'm here, and I'm just really delighted that you guys are talking about what, at least in my circle, seems to be that elephant in the room of race. There's no question in my mind that Jeremy has been overlooked because he's Asian. I've been following this kid's success on the basketball court since he arrived at Harvard and have just marveled about how he was just completely, seen as so successful at Harvard and yet just very overlooked as she left. But as an Asian American, too, I have to say that, and also as not a huge sports person compared to, like, a lot of the folks I know who are just, you know, they breathe and eat sports, et cetera. I just really am delighted that Jeremy, as an Asian American, has really humanized what some people see as a species of people or a race of people who are colorless, flavorless, super achieving androids. I mean, people are seeing. I went to the local mom and pop sports store down the street from my walk up to be able to find a Lin jersey. They hadn't printed up any yet, but they wanted to talk about Lin because I was there. And no one wanted to talk about race. It was like, oh, well, what do you think? And it was like, you know, every time I try to say, oh, yeah, he's, you know, this is really great. It was really cool to see these folks who are really so pumped up about Jeremy Lin. And at the same time, it was very obvious that they were awkward about even bringing up his being Asian, perhaps because I'm Asian or whatnot. But what is really very, I think, heartening for me is to be able to see that this is he's a great guy. He's a nice guy. He's a person. He's not just a sports person. He's multidimensional. And yes, as an Asian American, I'm very happy that he's helping us to humanize a group of people who often are just outside discussions of race or outside discussions of people.
Mary, thank you so much. You know, he's got that Derek Jeter thing, though, when he speaks to the media of not answering any question ever. You know, like, no matter what you ask him about his feelings or how special this is or what it means to communities, he says, well, I'm just out there trying to do my best at any moment, trying to help my team win games. Great bunch of guys.
I think him, Derek Jeter, and Eli Manning all have the same media coach. And we've all of a sudden we forgot about Eli Manning. Like, we won the Super Bowl, and then 2 days later, where's Eli Manning?
And there's another related storyline here, too, I think, which is for the NBA itself.
Yes.
Kind of like Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa returned interest to baseball after the strike or lockout of the 90s, alienated many fans. Forget that turned out to be steroids. Here is a little renewal now after the NBA labor dispute shortened this season and turned a lot of people off.
I know Jeff probably has some thoughts about this, but I think the NBA, people were heartbroken about the way that the labor dispute went, and hardcore fans didn't even think the season was going to happen. And all of a sudden, you have a season that started, a lot of injuries, a lot of the star players not playing up to their potential, and this has been the prime moment for Jeremy Lin to come into.
I want to get one more call in here, because Jose in Queens, I think, is seeing some kids on the playground talking about Jeremy Lin. Is that right, Jose?
Right. I live right across my playground on Woodside, and when I see Jerry, his game is like the this kind of playground that you see in Queens. It's a different style. It's not like that game that you see these kids, these guys in the NBA. They've been playing ball since they were child. They've been honing their game, and they're smooth, and they're slick, and they're talented, and all of that. But his game is like a street game. It's like the playground kind of game. It's like the coolest thing to watch his moves because they're different from the.
He's very physical. He drives hard and doesn't fear making contact.
Not at all. Yeah.
Jose, thank you. Jeff.
I've got to say, I mean, you know, it is one of the things which is part of that, you know, what Mary was referring to, kind of breaking us out of that that almost, you know, automaton perception, right? I mean, which has never been true, but, you know, with Jeremy, because he is physical, because he gets down, because he actually, you know, he's got amazing agility and he drives, and a lot of things that people don't think that Asian American players do, much less Asian American people, you know, that sort of that fierceness and determination and fire, you know, it's amazing. It's like we sort of get pushed in this box of being kind of like the Mitt Romneys or something of of society, and here he is, a guy who is bringing it on the floor with his personality and not just his game. And I agree that, you know, when he's actually in pressers after the fact, you know, he's very moderate. I think he at this point feels like it's, you know, the Marys and for that matter the Mies of the world, you know, are probably putting a lot of expectations on him, so he doesn't want to kind of talk out of line. But, you know, he's had plenty of examples before of his personality. You know, he's got a sense of humor, he's got wit, and I think that's going to come out as time goes on.
All right. On the way out the door, Ibrahim, you've agreed to read for us part of the transcript of the advice that the Lakers star Meta World Peace, also known as Ron Artest, offered to Jeremy Lin with a partial transcript that we've made of Meta World Peace's interview, right?
Yes, and he's from Queens. Don't forget, Meta World Peace is from Queens. So he says, we think he needs a better haircut. I don't like that. I don't like that style. You're in New York, the fashion capital. Change your haircut, okay? You're a star now. Wear some shades. Shades, okay? Put down the nerdy Harvard book glasses. Put on some black shades, okay? With some leather pants. Change your style. Fashion. You're Jeremy Lin, for God's sake. You know what I'm saying? You know? Put down that law book. Stop reading the New York Times. Then he goes on and he says, put your hat on backwards. He says, put your hat to the back. Put your hat on backwards, Jeremy Lin.
I want to see them out together at a club some night. Wouldn't that be a trip?
With Tim Tebow.
All right. Well, for the moment, I'll stick to watching Lynn and Landry Fields do that nerdy pregame handshake that they have.
Yeah, I don't even know.
And we thank Jeff Yang, contributor to It's Free Country and The Wall Street Journal, and Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, takeaway sports correspondent, for sharing some Lynn sanity with us.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Always fun here.
And Dylan Radigan next. Stay with us.